Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. We design, craft and install beautiful kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Well, it's just over a week now until Ireland face Portugal in a crucial World Cup qualifier, and that's a match that will certainly define their campaign. After a bruising start to the qualifiers last month, hopes of reaching our first World Cup in 20 years have taken a serious hit, to put it mildly. But beyond the current senior team, what does the future hold for Irish football? How are our youth academies shaping the next generation, and what impact has Brexit had on their development? Well, our reporter Maura Fay has been investigating all of this, and Maura visited one of Ireland's leading soccer academies to find out more. Hello, Maura.
Hi, Claire.
Very welcome. Will you explain how the pathway now for young Irish players to reach the really elite level football, how it's changed since Brexit?
Sure, Claire. So traditionally, many of Ireland's most promising young footballers moved to English clubs in their mid-teens to join academy systems. However, Brexit changed that pathway. Under current FIFA regulations and following UK's exit from the EU, players from the Republic of Ireland can no longer sign for English clubs until they turn 18. So that means they are staying longer with Irish clubs. And the question many are asking is this a disadvantage for Irish soccer in that our youth players are not getting access to full-time coaching that they get at the UK facilities? Or is it an opportunity for Irish soccer to really progress and up their game when it comes to youth academies? I should also mention that player transfers from League of Ireland clubs to foreign clubs is an important source of revenue for those Irish teams. So to get an idea of what's happening at the grassroots level, I went to Shamrock Rovers Youth Academy. Just in case people aren't too familiar with League of Ireland soccer, Shamrock Rovers are currently top of the Premier Division and took on Sparta Prague last night in the UEFA Europa League. So didn't get the result they wanted, but they're definitely one of Ireland's top tier soccer teams. Kieran Kane is the director of Shamrock Rovers Football Club. I met him at their training facility at Kingswood on the Naas Road, which is home to their youth academy as well as their men's and women's first teams. The facility actually started out as the Roadstone Group's sports club. Kieran shared what their vision is for their youth academy.
So what we're looking to do here is we're looking to develop footballers, the best footballers in the country, and we'll take them in at a young age, very often 7-8 years of age, and work on them in terms of coaching and development, and hopefully get them to the point where they're playing underage National League football. If they're strong enough, we'll bring them into an educational program as well, and the ultimate aim would be to get guys to a point where they can be professional footballers.
What's the cost of running an academy like this, and how is it funded?
So the cost of running this academy would run into close to 7 figures. It's funded at the moment largely through the wider football club. So the revenues we generate from ticket sales, from commercial revenue and from European success is used partly to fund the academy. There's also some academy sponsors, and there'll be a small amount of government money as well.
Okay, a bit of government money too. So what kind of things is the club doing to nurture young talent, Maura?
Quite a lot, Claire. So they've teams across all ages, boys and girls, typically training 3 times a week and fixtures at the weekend. A key part of their setup is the transition year programme. It allows students to train full time, similar to what they'd experience at academies in England. Kieran told me it's crucial that young players have access to a programme that lets them stay in full time education while developing as footballers.
What we're doing here in terms of the transition year programme, where the kids are on site, they're getting fifth year education through Ashfield College, and they're getting access then to football on a daily basis. We've changed the focus this year, so we're focusing very much on the development of the individual player. So rather than getting everyone doing the same training, we focus on the individual player development. So hopefully that enables them then to develop as a footballer in a much more structured way than if they were in a situation where they were coming into us just in the evenings, having been in school all day.
Just on the transition year programme, how long has it been going, and how many students are involved, and is it open to males and females?
It's been going for 5 or 6 years. It is open to males and females, and we would tend to take in between 12 and 16 kids every year. So what they will do is they will come out of their secondary school, they will come into us, they will get a combination of its education, football, and then the programme organisers will do, they'll do some work experience, they'll do some site visits, etc., to companies. We do have a programme for fifth and sixth year in conjunction with Ashfield. At the moment, the funding is only there to put a small number of players through that programme, so we'd like to do more of that. We're very conscious that for a lot of kids, you know, if you look at the numbers in England, the numbers that actually become professional footballers and that make a career of it is very, very small. So there's an onus on us to make sure that when we take these young people in, that we give them the educational opportunity as well as the football opportunity.
Yes, it's a rounded experience. Then you mentioned Brexit earlier on, and how are the Brexit rule changes affecting the practicalities of those opportunities for young Irish soccer players?
So I spoke to Darren Malloy. He's head of academy coaching at Shamrock Rovers. He spent years coaching abroad, including in England, so he's well placed to assess the impact. I asked him whether the new rules are a hindrance or perhaps a chance for Irish football to grow.
It's both, being honest. Obviously, being in the UK, we would always look at our depth charts throughout and think, OK, do we have something in the building? If not, where can we go? And I myself would have been involved in bringing one or two Irish players across to the UK. Obviously, that avenue is closed now for the UK. So in terms of the players haven't got that opportunity to go. So naturally, it falls somewhere. It's a huge opportunity to keep players in their own comfort, around family, around friends, around schools and familiar faces. And that is huge. And I noticed that when we did bring players abroad. So have them at home where they're in their comfortable environment, where they can be themselves, is huge. The challenge that it brings then is actually facilitating the contact time. And not just, it has to be quality over quantity, as in experts around. That's the big difference, I would suppose, is that they have full-time analysts, full-time S&C, full-time physio, multiple full-time coaches working with them who have time to put into all this session plans as a team, but also as individuals. And again, that can only be changed with actually having feet on the ground and people in the building to actually support the players. So for us, it's a huge opportunity to, if we do it right, to get players training full-time in their own environment. But to maximise and to do that, we do need to get an industry where there is jobs, there is those who are coming out and aspire to be full-time in football or in any sport, have opportunities and can see a pathway. Without that, it's a massive problem.
Do you expect that many future national team players for Ireland will be coming out of Shamrock Rovers Youth Academy?
Absolutely. It's already happened a bit before. There's players currently in the first team now who have historically played for Ireland. There's one or two who are on the fringes and have been in squads. We're fortunate. We're creative at what we do and maximising the resource that we have. We have a lot of internationals throughout the younger ages in both the male and female teams, which is always brilliant and is a credit to the work that the coaches put in with them. But I think for us to get to the next level, to go and be consistent at senior level, we really need to kind of invest in the future of the game for all clubs. But yeah, for sure, that's definitely the plan.
Well, that's a tough business, isn't it? Darren Malloy there, head of academy coaching at Shamrock Rovers. Speaking of the next generation then, Maura, you spoke to some of the students there.
I did. One of them is Alex Byrne from Tala. He's part of their transition year programme, plays for Shamrock Rovers under 15 team and has also represented Ireland. I asked him how he's finding the transition year programme so far.
Oh, it's been brilliant. Like, it's an opportunity to come in and just play full-time football and just, like, doing what I love. We do a little bit of everything every day. We do schoolwork, we're in the gym, we're on the pitch, doing, like, correctives to help our body. So, like, everything that helps me as a person. So, it's good.
How does it compare to regular school?
Oh, it's brilliant. Like, you don't have to do as much school. I think we only do, like, an hour and a half of school every day. And it's much more football-focused. So, it's really good.
Do you think you're learning lots about life in general?
Yeah, I think I'm learning what it's like to be a professional footballer and like what I want my career to look like when I'm older.
And what's the ambition for the future then?
I want to play in England or Europe. Like, I want to make football my full-time career, and that's what I'm trying to do now.
And what made you want to pursue soccer as a career? Did it's just something that you always loved doing?
Yeah, I've played football since I was 5 for Temple Oak, and then I was quite good at it when I was younger, so I've always stuck with it. And then I think I got to the age of 12, 13, and I was like, I really want to do this. So stuck with it since then and worked hard. And like, it's been good to me so far. So I'm hoping it stays like that for now.
What position do you play?
I'm a goalkeeper.
Is there a lot to learn about being a professional goalkeeper?
Oh, yeah. It's so like different to any other position. And being in TY, you get to focus on like the individual learnings of being a goalkeeper. So it's a lot better than being in school. Like,
what do your family think about it?
Oh, my family support me 100%. They love me being here.
You've also represented Ireland at a national level. Tell me about that.
Well, I've represented Ireland 9 times now. And it's an honour, like, when you get the call up. I was sitting at home and my dad came into the room, burst in. And, like, there was a couple of tears. Because, like, it's always good when you're representing your country. Then you go over and play. And it's such a, like, an honour when you hear that national anthem and you're singing it. And then, it's brilliant. Like, your whole family love it. You to be watching at home, like, your family on the telly to be watching you. It's, like, no better feeling than it.
For people who are listening to this, would it be something that you'd encourage them to do, to consider doing school and football?
Oh, 100%. Like, the learnings, you develop so much as a footballer and a person. It's brilliant for you in life. Like, you bring aspects to football and life that develop you, so it's really good.
He's living the dream, isn't he?
He is.
Delighted with himself, and we wish him all the very best. That's Alex Byrne there. Who knows, we might see him in an Ireland jersey at the 2034 World Cup. Maura, thank you so much. That's Maura Fay reporting. We will take a break, back after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.